Maryam Bege Disham Paschat Gavishto Gam Gatas Tada Tatra tatra hatatra tyer
Tatra tatra hatatra tyer
Hari pratyut yatarhana
Hari pratyut yatarhana
Sayam beje disham pascha
Sayam beje disham pascha
Gavishto gam gatas tada
Gavishto gam gatas tada
Tatra tatra Hari pratyut yatarhana
Hari pratyut yatarhana
Sayam beje disham paschat
Sayam beje disham paschat
Gavishto gam gatastata
Gavishto gam gatastata
Tatra tatra hatatratyair
Tatra tatra hatatratyair
Hari pratyut yatarhana
Hari pratyut yatarhana
Sayam beje disham paschat
Sayam beje disham paschat
Gavishto gam gatastada
Gavishto gam gatastada
At different places.
At different places.
Ha! It so happened.
It so happened.
Tatratyai by local inhabitants.
By local inhabitants.
Hari, the personality of Godhead.
Personality of Godhead.
Pratyud yata ha'arhana being offered presentations and worshipful regards sayam
the evening
beje having overtaken disham
direction
Paschat
Western
Gavishta
the sun in the sky
Gam
to the ocean
Gata
having gone
Tada
at that time
Translation on his journey through these provinces he was welcomed, worshipped, and given various presentations. In the evening, in all places, the Lord suspended his journey to perform evening rites. This was regularly observed after sunset. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said here that the Lord observed the religious principles regularly while he was on the journey. There are certain philosophical speculations that even the Lord is under the obligations of fruitive action. But actually this is not the case. He does not depend on the action of any good or bad work. Since the Lord is absolute, everything done by Him is good for everyone. That sentence is in italics for emphasis. Since the Lord is absolute, everything done by Him is good for everyone. But when He descends on earth, He acts for the protection of the devotees and for the annihilation of the impious non-devotees. Although He has no obligatory duty, still He does everything so that others may follow. That is the way of factual teaching. One must act properly himself and teach the same to others, otherwise no one will accept one's blind teaching. He is himself the awarder of fruit of results. He is self-sufficient, and yet he acts according to the rulings of the revealed scripture in order to teach us the process. If he does not do so, the common man may go wrong. But in the advanced stage, when one can understand the transcendental nature of the Lord, one does not try to imitate him. This is not possible. The Lord in human society does what is the duty of everyone, but sometimes he does something extraordinary and not to be imitated by the living being. His acts of evening prayer, as stated herein, must be followed by the living being, but it is not possible to follow his mountain lifting or dancing with the gopis. One cannot imitate the sun, which can exhaust water even from a filthy place. The most powerful can do something which is all good, but our imitation of such acts will put us into endless difficulty. Therefore, in all actions, the experienced guide, the spiritual master, who is the manifested mercy of the Lord, should always be consulted, and the path of progress will be assured. Tatra tatra hatatra tyaya Hari prat yud yatarhana Sayambe je dishampaschad Gavishto gam gatastada. On his journey through these provinces, he was welcomed, worshipped, and given various presentations. In the evening, in all places, the Lord suspended his journey to perform evening rites. This was regularly observed after sunset. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Niravishesha Shunyavadi Bhastyachyadesh Tarne. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Vanchika Pachuribhis Jagripa Sindhu Vyevacha Vaditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Yes, so we were reading yesterday and some previous couple of days, particularly yesterday, how Krishna left Hastinapur and made his way via different places, different areas, made his way to Dwarka, Dwarka Dham. And this verse in particular, well, yesterday's verse was emphasizing or just describing the route he took from here to there and so on and so forth, and then finally he arrived in Dwarka Dham. Here this verse is describing how he was received as he progressively moved on further and further from Hastinapur in the direction of Dwarka, and he was received very nicely. He was received very nicely. He was welcomed. He was worshipped in all these different provinces and areas of the world or areas of India. He was worshipped, and he was given different gifts. This is Vedic culture. This is Krishna consciousness, that the devotees are not miserly. The devotees are very generous. And when some respectable person comes and visits, then he is extremely well received, and in different ways the devotees, the local people, express and show their appreciation, their gratitude, that, oh, you have come, how nice, we're so happy to have your association. It is said that when someone visits your house, First of all, you should meet the person with sweet words. Sweet words. We know even, like during the Battle of Kurukshetra, and it was just the general system, that when there was a battle, and the opposing sides are trying to kill each other and very strenuously attack each other and defeat each other and destroy each other. But in the evening, the practice was, as soon as the sun set, the battle would stop, and then they would be friends. You might be just at the point, you're just about to cut the person's head off, and the sun set. And then you would stop and, Haribol, sit together, talk together, drink together, and socialize in friendly ways. So, anyway, at least some sweet words, so that even your enemy, if your enemy somehow appears on your doorstep unannounced, unexpected, and unannounced, then you should treat him so nicely that he doesn't feel he's your enemy. So that he feels welcome and like appreciated. And then, so some sweet words, then a place to sit, nice place to sit, then some water to drink, and then something to eat. This is Vedic system for just anybody, for anybody receiving anybody. That sweet words, place to sit, some water, and something to eat. These will be offered very nicely. And the guest generally will accept those things, and this is all in this way. Society is happy, people are happy and satisfied and peaceful. Today, of course, well, to some degree it may happen. If there's a guest who you like, then sure, these things may be offered. Maybe not something to eat, maybe something to eat, but maybe not. But at least a welcome place to sit, something to drink. This is even normal now. Of course, if it is someone who, you know, like an enemy, or at least someone who you don't really, you're not interested in, then when they knock on the door, if you have some way of seeing who it is, and then you see, uh-oh, it's him, oh boy, then you may just not answer the door. And, you know, we have experience of all sorts of different interactions in under those circumstances. Knock on the door, doing book distribution, knock on the door, waiting. Then there's the window is right next to the door, and you see the curtain moves slightly. Ah, someone is there, but they don't come to the door. Or the child comes to the door, opens the door. Is your mother here? Is your father here? Wait a minute, he goes in and he comes back and says, my mummy says she's not here. So, Kali Yuga, welcome to Kali Yuga. But according to Vedic standards and Krishna conscious standards, even like when we visit Vrindavan and we visit some shops, we're considering purchasing something. At least it used to be the practice to some degree, it still is. They may offer you a drink and so on like this, receive you. And what to speak of some big, important person. Oh, then that person is received in a big, important way. And this is what is happening here with Lord Krishna. He's going through these different areas. and their communities there on the way, and he passes through and they recognize that this is Lord Krishna, the famous Lord Krishna, such an important person. So they would welcome him and worship him and give him different things. It is said that at least when people come to see you, even if you haven't got something for them to eat, at least give them some sweet words, a place to sit and some water. Somehow, if you haven't got access to water also, at least some sweet words and a place to sit. If for whatever reason you haven't got a place for them to sit, then at least some sweet words. And if you haven't got any sweet words, well, you have failed. You're a failure. And it's just not good. And there may even be consequences. When, who was it? Kasyapa came home and found Diti, if I remember correctly. Yes, Diti. Anyway, if I remember correctly. Just completely distraught and devastated. Just on the floor. Just crying and beside herself completely. In great distress. Then, of course, he wanted to understand what's the problem and can we help? But she was just so totally bewildered that he couldn't really get any response from her. At least she didn't offer one voluntarily. And so he started questioning her. What happened? Was it this? Was it that? Different possibilities. Things he thought might possibly have disturbed her greatly. An interesting point is that the first thing he suggests is that did some uninvited guest come, but you were not able to receive him properly? This was his first suggestion. He's trying to understand what could have affected you to this degree where you've just lost control altogether. So first idea, what could have disturbed you just so much? Maybe an uninvited guest just appeared on your doorstep and you couldn't receive the person properly and they went away dissatisfied. And then he suggests various other things. Did someone insult you or something like that? But interesting, first idea, what might have distressed you, disturbed you to this extreme degree? Maybe you couldn't receive an uninvited guest properly and they left dissatisfied. So they received Krishna very nicely, very, very nicely. Some places he just passed through, but every evening he stopped. It was not like with some devotees that we drive through the night to Cape Town or somewhere like that, risk our lives, test out how good you are at driving while sleeping. That is a very serious challenge. No, they would stop in the evening, and when they stopped, Lord Krishna would perform different, evening rites that Prabhupada translates in the verse, certain rituals and different performances, religious activities which are just recommended and standard activities for regular householders. Whatever it may be, some sort of program or other. And Srila Prabhupada makes the point at the beginning of the purport that reading things like this, some people may think, and even perhaps it appears some people do think, that Lord Krishna, he's an ordinary person. He's not such a big person. He's certainly not God. And here, see, there's proof. If he was such a big person, beyond all regular considerations for ordinary people, then why would he have to do these evening rites as ordinary people do? So therefore they feel this is proof that Lord Krishna, we don't need to take him so seriously. And certainly he's not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For example, you find that the Brahmins, even today to some degree, the Brahmins who are in the Gotra descended from Bhrigu Muni, they have some very funny ideas about the Supreme Personality of Godhead in those terms, in that when Bhrigu Muni was testing Lord Brahma, then Lord Shiva, then Lord Vishnu, to see who was the most pure person and the most elevated person with the best personal qualities and qualifications of character. So he walked in. Well, he tested Brahma, then Shiva first. They didn't do well. They got very disturbed and angry. But then third was Lord Vishnu. And Bhrigu Muni, he tested Lord Vishnu in a very extreme way. He walked up to him. Lord Vishnu was reclining, lying there in yoga nidra, externally not aware. And Lakshmi Devi was massaging his lotus feet. And Bhrigu Muni just walked up to him and kicked him in the chest. Hard. And naturally the Lord woke up with a bit of a start. Yeah. And then, understanding what had happened, the Lord then said to Bhrigu Muni, "Oh, my dear Bhrigu Muni, my dear exalted Brahman, I'm so sorry. I hope you didn't hurt your soft lotus foot on my hard chest. And, yeah, I'm so sorry to get in your way and like this. And but thank you. Thank you for touching my chest with your lotus foot, because now you've left some dust. Some of the holy dust from your lotus foot is now on my chest. You have benedicted me. Some of that sacred dust. Thank you so much. And up till now, my wife, Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, even though she's my wife, she has never come any closer to me than my feet. But now that I've got the dust from your lotus feet on my chest, now maybe she will embrace me. Yeah, embrace my chest to get some of that dust. Thank you so much." So this is what happened. And some of the members of that Bhrigu line, they say, "Just see, we... Bhrigu, and we, you know, we're his seminal descendants, so us also, because everything comes through birth. Just see, Bhrigu Muni is so elevated, and so are we, because we're born in his line, so elevated that he was worshipped by Vishnu. He was worshipped by Vishnu. And Vishnu treated him like in these different ways with great respect. So he is very great. He's greater than Vishnu. And so are we. This is there. Yeah, this is there. I mean, not universally, but there are definitely people who are in the line of Bhrigu who actually feel like that. That, yes, you know, Vishnu, the Supreme Lord, not so important, because he reacted like that. He reacted with great humility and expressing his own position as not being very special. Must be true. So we are the best. So, you know, these are just some examples, but there are so many ways in which confused people who only have, well, you know what they say? What is it? Half the understanding is dangerous, or a little knowledge is dangerous, or something along those lines. Yeah. If you have just a small amount of knowledge, but you have a substantial amount of pride, oh, it can be a very dangerous combination. And you can make offenses, you can make a great fool of yourself. So in different ways, many people have these types of ideas of different sorts, that Krishna, don't worry about Krishna because he did this, he did that, he did whatever it may be, so many things just like what we do, and so he's just like us. And there's no need to worship him or take him very seriously at all. This is one of the great diseases of material consciousness, that directly or indirectly, people minimize the position of the Lord, and even to the point of thinking he doesn't exist. In other words, he's zero. That's really minimizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in different ways, they have different ideas, different arguments to try to prove that Krishna, Vishnu, not important. But, as explained here, Krishna, he does things like that sometimes, like perform these evening rites, to set an example. It's described also about Maharaj Yudhisthira. It's described in the Bhagavatam how Maharaj Yudhisthira, when he became the king after the Battle of Kurukshetra and he was ruling, in order to set an example for people who were really on a lower level, he would worship demigods. Not because he felt there was a need to worship demigods for some sort of benefit, but because the people who are really on a much lower level and just prone to be grossly materialistic and not have any religious activity, if they see that this big man, the king, the emperor of the world, is doing this, then they may think, oh, must be very important, and then they may become inspired to do it themselves. So that is the reasoning, that's what's explained here, that Krishna would do these evening religious activities to set an example. And even, for example, in the 10th canto, it's described how he would chant Gayatri 3 times in the day. He would worship the forefathers and just do all sorts of things. But simply to set examples. So, and even, it's interesting, at the end, in the 11th canto, when Lord Krishna leaves this world, then the description is he left a material body. And that material body was taken, I don't know if it was taken back to Dwarka, maybe. But one way or the other, that material body was cremated. That material body of Krishna was cremated because Lord Krishna knew that however many people thought that he was an ordinary person with an ordinary material body like everyone else. So in order to satisfy them, encourage them, the Lord left a material body which was cremated so they could just get together and say, just see, we knew all along, and you know, we were right. So Krishna's really quite in character, and he does things like this. Even Prabhupada explains, we mention sometimes how you get these philosophers, atheistic philosophers, who are trying to devise different arguments and like that to convince people that there's no God for this reason or that. And Prabhupada explains that Krishna, Savasya Chahamridi Sanivishto Matasmriti Abhyanam Aponam Cha, Krishna's giving remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge, jnanam. He's giving jnanam, knowledge also. So Krishna, to help those people, he gives them intelligence so they can come up with these very clever philosophies which fool many people. Yeah, this is Krishna. So anyway, many people feel that Krishna is an ordinary person, and on the basis of different ordinary standard things that Krishna did do at different times, they think this is all substantiating that, and therefore we don't need to worry about Krishna because he's just like us, and you know, we're as good as him, so let's just focus on ourselves. But before you do that, you should consider that, can you lift Govardhan Hill? Can you lift Govardhan Hill? Can you expand into multiple forms, each acting independent of each other, while interacting with different people like the gopis, the queens in Dwarka? Can you do that? Prabhupada also elsewhere makes the point that some people, they note that Lord Shiva smokes dukkha. Lord Shiva smokes copious quantities of dukkha. And they think, he is our leader, he is our God, and we should follow in his footsteps. But Prabhupada made the point that if you feel that you should follow in the footsteps of Lord Shiva by smoking dukkha, first of all, drink an ocean of poison. If you can manage that, okay, you can smoke dukkha. Because if you can drink an ocean of deadly, deadly, just devastating poison without being affected, not even becoming sick, just being completely normal and carrying on, then you to smoke dukkha will have no effect on you whatsoever. But in the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada talks about this, about dancing with the gopis, Krishna dancing with the gopis. And Srila Prabhupada says there's a particular principle involved, and he says this is called the Ishvara principle. The Ishvara principle. Ishvara, of course, means God, the master, the controller, the supreme controller. So on the basis of that Ishvara principle, Krishna, he's independent. He's not bound by the conventions and rules and regulations, which ordinary people are very much bound by. When he can do what he likes. He can follow them when he likes and not follow them when he likes to not follow them. And so, therefore, sometimes he acts in exemplary ways like this, and sometimes he acts in completely unexemplary ways from the perspective of the ordinary people. And that's his prerogative, that's his right. He doesn't just have to do everything according to the book, so to speak. Just like we celebrate Govardhan Puja on Friday, and Krishna, right at the beginning of the Govardhan Leela, when Krishna has just seen that they're preparing for something, then Krishna preaches Karma Mimamsa philosophy to Nanda Maharaj. And that philosophy, which is illusory, states that even if there are higher controllers, all they can do is give you what you have earned the right to be given in terms of your karma and how you've conducted yourself. There are certain natural consequences which come, good, bad, mixed, depending on what you do. And if there are any gods, all they can do is give you what you actually deserve. And they can't do anything else. So therefore, they are dependent on karma. If you don't have the karma for it, then even if they personally feel they want to give you something, but if you don't have the karma for it, they can't. They just can't do it. So therefore, stockpile good karma. Just somehow get as much good karma as you can. Because God, if there is a God, he is, Prabhupada says, a dependent aspect of karma. And karma is actually the supreme controller. Karma is controlling what happens. But, of course, at least, of course, with the demigods, there's some truth in that. In fact, in many ways it's correct. But with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's not correct. Yes, Krishna explains, what is it, chapter 9, verse 30, apichet suduracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadareva samantavya samyagvya vasatovisa. That a devotee, even if a devotee does some suduracharo, very, very bad activity, he must be considered saintly as long as he is properly situated in his determination to remain a devotee despite having encountered some serious problem. By the grace of Krishna, Shipram Bhavati Dharamatma, Krishna, by the mercy of Krishna, that devotee quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. Even if the devotee's done some serious sudur-achara. An ordinary person, if they do some serious sudur-achara, some serious sinful, wrong, bad, destructive activity, well, they go to hell. They go to hell for a long time. If it's real sudur achar. But the devotee, Krishna says, sadur eva. must be considered saintly, quickly becomes righteous, quickly attains lasting peace. So this is another aspect of the independence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of his independence and his affection for his devotees. So it's all a bit subtle, and therefore Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, therefore in all actions the experienced guide, the spiritual master, who is the manifested mercy of the Lord, should always be consulted, and the path of progress will be assured. Yeah. So you find, like Krishna speaking, karma mimamsa, if you don't have access to someone who really understands what is going on, then you'll think, this is Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Krishna himself speaking. Very good. Karma mimamsa it is. Let us do karma mimamsa. And there are different places where things happen. When Krishna was fighting with Shalva, then Shalva or someone by his mystical powers showed, I think, Vasudev had been decapitated, and Krishna became distraught. Became very disturbed, on the battlefield. And people think, just see, father got killed. He got upset. He's just like us. But the Ishvara principle is there. And only with proper guidance will one understand. Otherwise, basically, one will inevitably become confused. It's more or less inevitable that one will become confused. So thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the first canto, 10th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka. Any comments, words of wisdom, correction?
Very well spoken. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. I don't think you are meant to say that. Anything you'd like to add? Madhu Mangal Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
My dearest Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj. Actually, I'm very amazed that you read this part today, because in the beginning you were talking about receiving a guest and the devotees. Me and Patita Pavana had witnessed his reciprocation with a person that came. We were outside chanting, and we finished our chanting, and one lady got her finger pinched in the door, very severely pinched.
Oh.
So we asked, I knew this doctor, his name Vikas. Vikas? Dr. Vikas? I don't know your name. He's a doctor at the R.K. Khan at the trauma unit. So I knew he was inside, so I called him and came down and looked at the lady. And anyway, we started speaking. But she was in great pain, but wasn't broken or anything. So I can't remember. I'm just like totally in love of all this, where everything is. If you can just take off from where. I can't remember if they. I can't remember now what actually happened, if they went into the temple, if they went. Because what I can remember, they came up at the top here, and we met them, and Patita, I remember, was going down, and something, I remember the next thing, he was coming up and he had a garland in his hand, and he had a packet of Maha Prasadam, I mean cookies and cakes like this, and we gave it to them, and they were just they were so overwhelmed, and I greeted them, and they, you could see their hearts were definitely
You know, Prabhupada, he sent out a letter once to all temples. Sometimes, you know, he would do that, just like a mass mail out, that he wants every temple to have subji and puris available for the guests, so that every guest who comes, they get a nice plate of sabji with puris. And Prabhupada said, if there's some left over in the evening, our men will take it, so don't worry. So yeah, Prabhupada wanted that, and it's just such a part of Krishna conscious culture. You know, our Sunday program, we just give everyone very nice prasadam, no charge. It's part of the culture. And everyone should get some charanamrita, little prasadam. Any other comment or question? Srila Prabhupada ki.
Bhakti Chaitanya Swami ki.